Now joining the program, Kevin Falness, studio host for the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin, as always, thank you so much for the time. Kev, I guess I got to start here. You said over the last week or so, I believe I was listening to Beyond the Pond on KFAN when I was up in the cities last weekend for the Big Ten tournament, that the points number that you think the final wild card spot would be at is around 93 to 95 points. Right now, looking at the Wild, that would mean they got to win about 9 of 11 to close the season out here. Just looking at it realistically, my man, you know, what are the chances here of this team slipping into the Cup playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's going to be even closer to 96 at this point, and the math doesn't look good for them. I mean, you basically got to win out. You have to win both games against Vegas in regulation, and, you know, both of those scenarios are difficult, to say the least. I mean, they've painted themselves into a corner, unfortunately, because of some of the dry spells they had earlier in the season, and now, you know, it's all it's time to pay the piper. Unfortunately, I just don't think they have enough runway to get her done, but if they get it done, no one will be happier than me. It'll take an unbelievable run in the final 11 games, though, to manage the climb over St. Louis and catch Vegas at the same time.
Yeah, so I'm sort of thinking this Saturday when they play the Knights, this is kind of the season here. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, it depends on what happens Thursday against the Sharks. You stub your toe against the Sharks, and then it's pretty much lights out. Yeah. You win against the Sharks, it prolongs the hope, at least, to another game. But yeah, if you go up against Vegas and you're still alive on Saturday, there's no question. You got to not only win, but you got to win in regulation. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee you anything for the rest of the season, but you have to win that game in regulation if you get things done on Thursday. You know, the hard part about the National Hockey League is that on any given night, last night's a great example. I'm watching the Blues and the Golden Knights go toe-to-toe, and I think all you want to see in that game is someone win in regulation, no matter what it is, because it gives you an opportunity to at least, in theory, keep your hopes alive. Well, St. Louis scores late in regulation, tie the game, they go to overtime, Vegas wins it, and now it's a three-point contest. Vegas ends up with 2 points, the Blues get the 1 point loser point, and, you know, it's one of those three-point games against two teams that the Wild are in direct competition with for that final playoff spot. So, you know, again, it didn't come down to just the last 11 games. They kind of sealed their fate over the first 70 or so contests. But this is where it comes down to crunch time. And unfortunately, like I say, it feels like they're running out of runway.
Yeah, it's like I like to use the metaphor where it's like we got someone bleeding out in the ambulance and we're trying to rush into the hospital. And one, you know, one wrong turn and that's going to be losing to the Knights on Saturday or something like that. I don't know. It feels unlikely, but nonetheless, they're still going to fight to the death here. I have been talking about their missed opportunities throughout the entire season, and I went back and looked, and there were three real pivotal spots, and it was that weekend at the New Year with the Jets, and it's after that you win 7-9, and then you lose to the Predators and Blues in that weekend, and then, of course, the Blues over the weekend. Now, it's been those three moments that have sort of defined this season. What do you think it is why this team gets to the precipice, but they can't get over the hump? What's been the difference?
Yeah, it's. I have no idea. I don't know how to answer it, that's for sure, because if I had the answer, I'd go down to John Ryan's office. I'd knock on the door and say, here's the answer. You know, even go back to the game against Los Angeles. The Wild had an opportunity there to close the gap in a big way, and they lose in stunning fashion out there in Los Angeles. They end up losing 6-0. The game in Nashville, they could have closed within 2 points of the Predators. At the end of February, they go into Bridgestone Arena and they get their doors blown off 6-1. That was another opportunity squandered by the Wild. The two worst ones, I think, going into the All-Star break, they had an opportunity to really enjoy the All-Star break and feeling real good about themselves. They dropped back-to-back contests against Nashville and Anaheim and blew third-period leads and ended up with 0 points in each of those two games. The loss to Nashville doesn't look as bad now. They're on an unbelievable run to secure their spot in the playoffs. But you lose to Anaheim on home ice with a third period lead going into the All-Star break. That's borderline inexcusable. Now, the record that they've put together since then, since coming out of the All-Star break, is pretty amazing. I don't know what it is exactly off the top of my head, but, you know, even go back to the last 10, yeah, they lost two games past regulation to St. Louis, but they're 6-1-3 in their last 10 overall. That's a really good stretch of hockey. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not good enough because of the corner they painted themselves into. So, c'est la vie. We'll see what happens in the final 11 games, but unfortunately, it doesn't feel like they have a real puncher's chance here coming down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Minnesota Wild studio host Kevin Fowlness for the Minnesota Wild Radio Network, Kev, as much as we're trying to keep it positive, I think we both know the outcome here. So for me, I'm sort of looking at the offseason, and I wanted to start some offseason questions with you here. First, to do with John Hines, do you think Hines is going to be this guy that's right for this team moving forward?
I actually do. I mean, I have no reason to think that he's not, and I don't know that Dean Evason was the wrong guy for the job, but we know how things started at the beginning of the year, and they decided to make the switch, and John Hines has come in, and I think he's been great. I think the record speaks for itself. I think, and again, going back to that malaise going into the first of the year where they blew a pair of home and homes against the Jets and the Stars. I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's an actual reason why this Wild team has struggled this year. Injuries have been an issue. You go into that home and home with the Jets and the home and home with the Stars without seven of your top regulars. Any team's going to struggle, and they've gone, Jared Spurs has just played 16 games this year. And this is my long-winded way to say, whatever the results are and however things finish off this year, I don't think it all falls on John Hines. I don't think it's a schematics thing. I don't think it's an X's and O's thing. I think a lot of it is due to the fact that their best players have been unavailable. And then to make matters worse, you're dealing with what they were up against with not having that $15 million to spend because of the buyouts of Parisi and Suter. But what they couldn't have been able to foresee was how the injuries were going to affect this team. And then to not have that $15 million to spend to make up for that lack of depth, it's just been a combination of problems. So I don't look at John Hines as the issue here. If the Wild don't make the playoffs, I don't look at John Hines and say, well, that's the reason you need a different coach. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they just had a real bad run of injuries throughout the course of the season, starting on day one and right through now.
Yeah, you talk about the money issue, and that's going to be apparent again this offseason. I like to say that there's still a year and a half now out from financial freedom. But in the time being, how can this team get better in the process while you still have these buyouts to deal with when it comes to Parise and Suter?
Yeah, you gotta utilize the young guys, and they definitely did that this year. You got two kids that are clamoring for the Rookie of the Year honors in the Calder Trophy here with both Brock Faber and Marco Rossi. I don't think either of them will get it because of the hype machine behind Connor Bedard, but think of where this team would be without those two guys. Right now, Rossi's actually centering your top line, and you got Brock Faber playing top-end minutes, and the Wild barely missing a beat defensively, despite the fact, again, you've only had 16 games from Jared Spurgeon, and Jonas Brodin has been in and out of the lineup. So that's what it's going to have to be. It'll be that way again next year until the Wild find that, like you said, quote-unquote, financial freedom. They've got to use these young kids along with the veterans that are on their roster, and they got to cobble something together to get to the promised land, which is not only that, but they've also got a real good pipeline coming of good young prospects, whether it's the blue line down in Iowa. There's three real solid options down there in O'Rourke, Lambos, and Damon Hunt. Those guys are knocking on the door right now to jump into the National Hockey League. You got Liam Ogren over there in Sweden. You've got Yurov coming over from Russia. Houston Dinov is already here. So there's some real good young talent coming down the pipeline. Now it's up to Bill Guerin and John Hines to figure out how to, weave that magic wand between now and, 2025 to figure out how they get from here to there.
Mm-hmm. I did want to touch on you with this, the Calder Trophy issue. I think it's kind of a hack of you-know-what here. That it's just such a foregone conclusion that Bedard should win this. I mean, I think Faber should have it in the bag, but it's just the hype behind Bedard that's getting it. Do you think that Faber has an outside chance to get it still? Vegas certainly doesn't think so. I mean, it's almost Bedard's to lose at this point still, even with the injury.
Yep, and that's unfortunate. You know, Brock Faber picked the wrong year to be a rookie, I guess. You know, and that's nothing against Connor Bedard, because he is a world-class talent.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be a force in this league for many, many years offensively. And what he does, his numbers are eye-popping. He's got 20 goals, however many points, and all this despite the fact that he's playing on a terrible Chicago Blackhawks team, and he missed a good chunk of the season with a fractured jaw. That's the case for Connor Bedard, but the case for Brock Faber is well documented. He's playing top pair minutes. He's been thrust into the lineup as the top guy with the injuries to Spurgeon and Brodin. He's playing both ends of the ice, whereas Bedard has to, you know, probably has never met his goaltender because he's never been on that end of the ice. He plays on the other side of the dot and on the other side of the red line almost 90% of the game. He's like a minus 30-something. Mm. Brock Faber has been rock solid. He's one of the main reasons why the Wild even have a puncher's chance at a postseason berth right now, because he's been that good. And, you know, you look at the numbers, the kid's been amazing. He got his seventh goal of the season last in that last game. He's one of the big reasons why this team has been afloat, and he's been great to watch. So if it were up to me, the vote would be a lot closer than it is, but I still think Connor Bedard gets it because of the hype machine that's behind him, and he's the next Connor McDavid, he's the next Nathan MacKinnon,
yeah,
the next Austin Matthews. But that said, Brock Faber's pretty darn good too.
I'm not sure if you've done any research on this yet, Kevin, and we're speaking with Kevin Fownes, Minnesota Radio Network studio host. In terms of the lottery here, we can't get the number one pick because of the new rules, but you can jump as high as 10 spots, I think it is, at wherever the Wild are going to, you know, end the season, assuming they miss the playoffs. You know, what type of talent is up there for the Wild to get? Can they fill a need that maybe is a prospect closer to the NHL than usual? Is there someone a little more NHL-ready that the Wild maybe can go after?
That's a good question. I have not looked ahead at that type of thinking as of yet. I think once you figure out where the Wild are in the standings and where they are, where they could potentially pick, and then how far they can move up, then you start looking at that stuff. I really don't even know. That's not my specialty at all. I know they'll get an impact player wherever they draft in that first round. And the best tool that they have at their disposal is Judd Brackett. I mean, he's been lights out as far as a guy that's been the draft guru and the prospect guy, the guy that's, you know, lining up all these guys that I was just talking about, as far as, you know, strengthening the cover here within the Wild organization. So regardless of where they pick, I like the fact that Judd Brackett is the guy leading the draft whenever that comes around.
Well, nonetheless, I think we spoke in January last time we did, and you said the Avalanche was your cup pick. Is that still your cup pick, or are we going with the Avalanche in the end?
I still think that's my favorite to come out of the Western Conference. And, you know, the Western Conference is a muddled mess. So, too, is the Eastern Conference. So it's hard to pick who it is that's going to be able to survive the onslaught that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. But I think the Colorado Avalanche are pretty darn good, and they're led by Nathan MacKinnon, who to me is the best player in hockey right now. All apologies to Connor McDavid. All apologies to Austin Matthews and any other great talent that's around here. I watch the way he moves, and I do watch a little bit of Colorado Avalanche hockey, and he's just a fantastic specimen. Mm. And he's on a very good team, and he's leading the way. They've won 9 in a row. He's got a ton of goals, a ton of points. And he's a difference maker, and I think that's the biggest thing that can help the Colorado Avalanche. They've got decent goaltending. They've got a pretty good surrounding cast as well, and when you include Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen. So I'm going to have to go with the Colorado Avalanche. It's my favorite to come out of the Western Conference, but I don't know how people make a living off of betting, especially on hockey. And when it comes to postseason hockey, you know, flip a coin, it's going to be nuts, but especially if they can avoid Dallas or Winnipeg in that first round and they end up with one of the wild card spots, I think Colorado is going to end up in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, I think I still got to go with the Edmonton Oilers just because of Connor McDavid. But, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, he's playing a little bit better. I'm just a homer with McDavid. He's been my boy since he got to the league. Nonetheless, it should be a fun cup playoffs with or without the Wild. We can only hope at this point, Kevin. We can only hope. Appreciate the time nonetheless. Kevin Fownes, studio host for the Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me. Let's do it again soon.